Welcome to Mom Friends. We are two longtime friends, Laura, who is a pregnancy and postpartum doula and mom of two.
And Remy, who is a first-time mom-to-be, and we both get together to discuss the journey from preconception through pregnancy, postpartum, and beyond.
Join us for weekly raw conversations and relatable struggles on how this life-changing event impacts all areas of our lives.
Let's begin. Hello, super happy to have you back on another Mom Friends episode today. We're very excited about this. Hello, Remy.
Someone sounds extra excited about this episode.
I am.
I know you are. You haven't been able to wait for it.
Yeah. Are you not excited?
No, I am excited. Obviously, I had a spirit baby experience before and it wasn't great, but I'm really looking forward to hearing from this specific lady because I feel like she's really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So a few episodes ago on episode 11, we touched base on your miscarriage and also the concept of spirit babies, which are basically the souls of children that are not born yet and are connected to us waiting to come to earth. So in that episode 11, we talked about this concept and how it kind of helped you navigate the miscarriage and know that your baby was still there waiting to come through. So after that episode, we obviously had a bunch of questions on spirit babies, how to communicate, how to know if they're there, how to call in a new soul. Do souls really return always after miscarriage? And obviously, we're not experts. So today we have an expert coming in to dive deep into all of these questions and topics.
Yes, and that's why I'm excited too, because it is such a new concept for me that I'm just starting to understand it and practice it myself and really talk to my spirit babies. And now, yeah, I'm just so excited to see what she has to say and if she can even see anything with me and you, you know, or just how she's able to do all this. So I'm excited. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's always been something that has come naturally. So for me to explain things is also really hard. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know how to talk to your babies? You know, for me, I've always done it. So like I've always been connected to my spirit babies, but I cannot put it in writing or in words, right? So I think that this is perfect for that, to really be able to explain everything in detail as well as go deeper than we can and have a reading ourselves. So let's do it.
Yeah. And like you said, like it's helped me through the miscarriage. And so I feel like for anyone who's gone through a miscarriage or just interested in this concept, I feel like it could lend a new insight to it and perspective. So yeah, let's jump right in.
Okay, let's go. Well, let's get right into the conversation and introduce Emily Green. She's a professional psychic medium who connects people to their loved ones on the other side, but also she is a spirit baby expert who is able to connect with the souls of children that we are meant to have. Hello, Emily. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Remy. So happy to be here with both of you. Thank you for that intro.
Yeah, we are so excited to have this conversation with you. So let's get started, like kind of backtracking. And we want to know a little bit more about you and how and maybe when did you realize you had this gift?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I had the experience as a child. I was, you know, it starts as far back as that. I was a very sensitive, very intuitive child, and nobody really ever knew what to do with me. I was always talking about things that I shouldn't and feeling into things that nobody was supposed to know. And so it really started for me back then. But as I grew older and I learned that, oh, okay, it's not really, people aren't really comfortable when I'm saying these things, or they're kind of looking at me strange, and it just didn't feel like my sensitivity and my perception was really accepted or welcomed. And at the time, people just weren't able to recognize it. And so I say that I sort of put my abilities temporarily into sort of a dormancy, and I continued forward with my life. I had a very normal, you know, childhood and teenage years, and I did all kinds of things that, you know, teenagers do. But I was always interested in the paranormal. You know, all my friends at the library were checking out books on like princesses, and I was checking out books ghosts and, you know, and haunted houses and these sorts of things. And I was just always really, really drawn to things that were unseen. And I'd never really understood why until I had my spiritual awakening when I was 19. Basically, I woke up from a dream, and in that dream, I was shown my life and that I could either go in one of two different directions. One direction would be to kind of follow the path that most of my friends were taking and, going to school and following this path and going in this direction. And then there was this totally other radical path that I was shown that was basically, you can help people and you can use the gifts that you've always had to support people on their life journey. And at the time, for my 19-year-old brain, that was just so radical to comprehend. I didn't think that that was possible. I didn't think I was anything special. I was like, how am I going to help people? I knew that I was interested in psychology and, human behavior. And I was interested in perhaps the path as a social worker, a therapist. And so I went to school for that. I thought that was the way. And then I eventually very quickly found out that it wasn't. And I tried a couple other different paths until eventually, when I was in my early 20s, I kind of just embraced it. I was like, all right. I didn't listen then, but I'm listening now. And I basically took my abilities out of dormancy, I guess you could say. And I started working with them and I started my practice when I was 21. And the rest is history in terms of how I began my practice. It's a whole other story depending on how I got into spirit baby work, because I didn't start my practice specifically focusing on spirit babies. I actually was doing a lot of mediumship work and intuitive development work, which I still do. But my practice has definitely become a spirit baby focus, just really because it just seems that there's so much need for that at this present moment. So that's kind of my story. And there is a really cool story too of how I discovered the spirit baby work too, if you want to hear it.
We'd love to.
Okay. So I was working with I had this woman come to me, and I had never worked with her before. She was coming to me for the first time for a reading, and I usually just ask for people for a brief intention at the beginning. How can I support you? And she just said she was looking for clarity, and I was like, great, I love that. I can do clarity. We can do that. So I tuned in, and I had sort of a and I guess not an expectation, but I had readings over the years that had gone a certain way. And I was just sort of like, oh, it'll be, another mediumship reading. We'll do some life path work, whatever. So anyway, I tune in and I start to see this in my mind's eye and my inner vision. I start to see this little girl, and I'm seeing her in so clear. I can still see every single detail and aspect of her. And I start describing this girl to this woman, and she's looking at me very confused. Like, she has no idea what I'm talking about. I'm like, oh no, this isn't good. So I was like, okay, what is going on? Because I made an assumption that this energy was likely an energy that was a part of her family that had passed. And I just didn't understand how. And so I went back to this energy and I said, who are you? I can't figure out how you're connected to this person. And she said, ask her about her miscarriage. And so I did. And I said, did you have a miscarriage? And she was like, yes, about a year ago. And that's actually the entire reason that I'm here with you, because I'm trying to conceive and I had a miscarriage and we're still trying to bring our second child into the world. And anyway, so then went forward and I was like, okay, we figured it out. Great. Went forward with this little girl and continued working with her. And she was giving just sort of healing details around this mom's miscarriage and just kind of basically like things that she wanted her to know moving forward. And then basically this woman conceived 3 months later and now has her second child, who I think is probably, oh my gosh, close to like 7 or 8 years old now. But that was how it all started. And so from that moment, literally every single person that I was meeting with, there was a spirit coming forward. Every single session.
For that lady, was the same spirit that miscarriage came through the second when she got pregnant, or is it a different spirit?
For her, it was different. It was different. Oh. So this girl was looking to have some closure and just sort of let her know, like, this was me. I came in. I couldn't stay. I had to exit. I'm sending in another energy who was a boy, and then sure enough, a masculine energy. And then sure enough, her next child was a boy. She had two boys.
Wow.
So yeah, it ended up being different, but this energy needed the closure. Like, she needed her family to know her and And who knows? I mean, I'm pretty sure this client is complete with having children, but you never know. You never know.
That gives me chills.
I love that story. When we introduced the concept of spirit babies, I explained my personal experience on how I have always felt my babies as souls before they came to Earth. So I explained how I communicated with them throughout my life and how I already knew them when they were born, right? So for those people who aren't aware, aren't intuitive, what are the signs that they can be looking for to know that their spirit babies are around?
I love this question because I think that my personal opinion is I really believe that whether we have a conscious, active, intuitive connection with our children or not, that they really desire that. And they're looking for ways to make that communication and to make that connection with us. And I think it's just a matter of like fine-tuning the method of connection. You know, for everybody, it's different. Like I talk to so many people who the way that they've made contact with the energies of their children is through dreams. You know, they're like, I'm a big dreamer and I've dreamt about them my whole life. I've seen them. They come in my dreams every once in a while or, you know, very frequently. And that's how I get that, those feelings. You know, I know other people who their energy, the energies of their children will communicate a lot through signs and symbols where they have a sign or a symbol that they can really attach to their children. I was just talking to a woman actually today who her connection to her spirit babies is she is very connected to Hawaii, and they send her spirit babies send her the Hawaii area code, which is 808. That's the number sequence that they'll send. And it was actually cool the way they validated that. But anyway, so that's another example. And other ways is, you know, they can actually work through other people. Spirit babies will work through other people. So I've seen this a lot where, you know, if they're having a hard time making contact for whatever reason, they'll actually kind of go work through somebody else to deliver a message or to deliver a sign or symbol. Dreams, you know, those are some big ones. I mean, meditations also too, like some people will have their spirit babies sort of randomly show up in a meditation that they're doing, breath work. I hear that a lot, people doing breath work and they'll be like, whoa, I just saw my future children, or I just saw the child that was connected to my miscarriage or whatever the case may be. So I think there's so many ways that they can make contact. And I wrote about this in my book, about there's sort of three different modes of communication or ways that they'll connect. One of them being sort of this spontaneous connection, right? Where they'll come in and they'll deliver a sign or come around you and you weren't really expecting it or expecting to connect with them or even trying to connect with them. And they'll find a way to deliver a sign or a message. And then there's, of course, intentional communication, which is there where like, we're looking to connect. We're looking to communicate. We're interested in having a dialogue. We're interested in, you know, communicating more with them. And so we'll find different ways to do that. Again, whether that's through meditation or setting an intention to connect with them more and so on. And then I also think there's sort of like an assisted communication, which is kind of what I was talking about before, where maybe they'll deliver a message to somebody else. Or, you know, I know a lot of people who like their massage therapists will be like, there's a baby around you. And they're like, I don't know why I have to say this to you, but you have a baby in your aura or this sort of thing. So, yeah, so those are some different ways. I really just would like to encourage people, because I have so many people coming to me like, is this my spirit baby? I don't know. I feel like it's them, but I don't know. I usually say almost 99% of the time when people are asking me that question, the answer is like, yes, that's them. They're trying. They're making their way through. You know, you can open up more to their communication. So those are the biggest ways that I find or what I notice.
Wow. It's amazing. It's the first time I hear someone say that they will find a way to deliver the message through someone else.
Yes.
Because I have really strong messages in my dreams, and it's been happening to me for 10 years. I'm so obviously now confident in the messages that are true because it's happened for 10 years. So like, to put an example, a couple of weeks ago, I had a message from this baby saying, I am finally ready to come through, tell my mom. And I literally told her a week later, she shows me a positive pregnancy test, and she's been trying for nine months, right? Another friend, I also had a dream of her baby, and he in this specific case was telling me, I am ready, my mom is ready, but she's not doing anything to bring me. And so I told her, and then she finally tried and she conceived. So wow. Why can't I get messages for myself? I just get messages for others.
That's just it, right? And I'm honestly, I find the same thing. It's like, it happens to me all the time too, where it's like constantly I'll be doing dream work in my dreams. I'm like getting all these messages, like writing them down in the middle of the night, like all these people, even sometimes random people that I've only had a conversation with one time.
Yeah, same.
And I think it's just it, to me, in my perception, it's that we, of course, are like so invested in our own experiences and like we're like, this is my journey, my experience. And so when we're closer to it, it can sometimes be harder to receive, not always, but it can sometimes be harder to receive clear information on it because we are so close to it. And so I think that's why the spirit babies will sometimes use somebody else or kind of ask for support from somebody else, whoever that is, whether that's somebody who's intuitive or just somebody who can be open to a signal or a dream or this sort of thing. Because sometimes it is like, it is not, I don't want to say it's impossible, but sometimes it is harder for them to get to us because we're very much like in our experience, right?
Yeah. And even for Remy, when she asked me about her babies, I'm like, I don't know. I can't get asked about a specific thing and then me tune in and know. I just have to randomly get messages. They choose what they want to share. And I am not the one who is choosing what information I get. It's like they come to me, right? So I'm happy to hear this description. Now I understand. So then another question following that, how do you communicate back if you don't know how? Like, what are the tangible methods for people who are maybe not so intuitive to communicate back to them? Other than talking out loud.
Yeah, great question. Well, honestly, one of the things that I do say is I think that it can be super valuable. Sometimes people don't have the time or the energy to invest in this, but I think that doing some intuitive development, like learning how you naturally receive and send intuitive messages, can be super, super helpful, especially on this path. It's definitely not compulsory. It's not a prerequisite, but I think that that can actually be something that's really beautiful. But one of the things that I say is that sending clear intention of what kind of communication you're looking to have with these energies. And they will almost always do everything that they can to kind of deliver on that request. And so what I mean by that is like, you could set an intention before you go to sleep and sort of like, give me some sort of message in this dream on something that you're wanting me to know or see or hear or this sort of thing. Another one of my favorite ways to do this is to communicate through signs and symbols. So I'll say like, okay, within the next 48 hours, send me a rainbow in a really unique and specific place. And I'll pay, and then you have to be perceptive to it and be aware of where that comes in and this sort of thing. I think it's just like, it's learning their communication, because I talk to different energies and they communicate in different ways. Like, I have energies who are super visual and they'll send me like imagery, and they're communicating primarily through images. And I'm a very visual person, and so I love when they like to communicate that way because it works for me. That's like, that's how I get messages myself, is through visuals, whether that's dreams or inner vision, third eye messages and this sort of thing. But for other people, right, it's feeling. Like, they're very body focused and they're receiving these messages through their body. There's just a feeling. It's kind of intangible. It's a little abstract. It's kind of hard to put your finger on. And other people just sort of have information that just comes to them. Like, I know that my next child is blah, blah, blah. Or I know that my next child wants to come in at this time. And a lot of people can sometimes question that because it's like, where did that come from? Or that came out of nowhere, or this sort of thing. So I think learning like what your strengths are, just like, even, if we use the analogy of like, what kind of learner are you? Are you like a tactical learner? Are you a visual learner? Are you an auditory learner? And kind of translating that into your intuitive faculties. And then that creates the pathway for a much stronger ability for communication with spirit babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it varies from person to person, so that's good to know. Another question is, because I felt my kids all my life, or as long as I can remember, maybe it was a little girl, are babies karmically connected to us, kind of like assigned to us since we're born, or are they coming to us at some point in our life? Can we call for new souls to come in when we're ready for a new one if we don't feel one? How does that work?
Yeah, this is such a great question. I love this topic. And it's very intricate. Like there's so much, there's so many ins and outs and different variables. But what I will say is that for the most part in past times, it's very common, exactly the way that you're describing, where there's this kind of karmic connection, soul family connection to our children. And we kind of travel with our children throughout time and space in different places and different incarnations. And that's kind of all very clean cut and decided before we ourselves take an incarnation. So before we are born, we already have this deep understanding and connection with the souls of our children that, okay, at this point in time or around this point in time, we'll make our way in and, you know, initiate this new experience as your children in this lifetime. So that, I would say that has been the most common configuration, is that there's a connection, there's a karmic connection, there's a soul family connection, and this all sort of decided, or there's these sort of connections that are decided before we ourselves incarnate. However, I think what I have noticed is that that has actually changed some over the last period of time. Well, I feel that that is still happening and happening a lot. You know, there's people who are like connecting with their children from the time that they are children, right? I certainly had that experience. Like I saw visions of my future children when I was like 8 years old, you know, right? So that happens still, but I am seeing more and more that because there are such a high volume of energies looking to enter the earth plane and to come onto the planet, that there are these newer connections that are being formed somewhere along the way. So, you know, even people who are like, I don't feel anything around me, I've never felt a spirit baby, I've never even really been sure if I want children, do I still have spirit babies around me? I always say yeah, because there's this, basically, to put it in a very earth term way, there is this waiting list of these energies who are so interested in coming and joining a family and having an experience. And so that I'm seeing that more and more and more, these kind of new energies that are happening, and also that people are kind of like calling them in as well, where they're like, okay, I never thought I wanted children my whole life, or I didn't even think I wanted another child. That's a big one, you know, where I'll hear people say, I already have two children, I thought I was done. And all of a sudden, I woke up one morning and I was like, I think that there's another soul who wants to come in, right? So that's something that I see more and more and more often now, is that there's these new contracts that are being initiated that aren't necessarily karmic, that are new. Like this is a new energy to us.
Totally. And before we move on to the new souls, are karmic connections, spirit babies that are karmically assigned to us, are they part of our soul family members in past lives?
For the most part, yes. These are like energies that travel in what we would call like our soul family or our soul pod, where we've been together in different forms, in different bodies, in different times. And we will change the roles though. So for example, we might have a child who was actually our mother in a past life or our grandmother. And you'll hear children talk about that. I have lots of clients who tell me like, my daughter just told me that she was my grandmother in a past life. Or even, even sometimes you'll have children saying, I was actually your grandmother in this life and I passed away and now I'm here again.
Wow.
That's more rare, but it does happen. And I have heard that. So I hope that answered your question. I think it did.
Yeah, for sure. Because it was one of our followers' questions. So I wanted to make sure we touched base on the topic. And then when it comes to the new souls, is there any way to recognize that it's a new soul? And is there any way that we can guide them better?
Oh, great question. Yeah, so I'm noticing that there are more of, these new energies coming in, and they have different needs, I would say. And a lot of parents are actually able to, some parents, not everyone, but I am noticing that a lot of people are able to actually kind of intuit that while they are either in the conception phase, preconception phase, or while they're pregnant, of sort of like, huh, this feels different. This energy feels different. They are communicating maybe a bit different. I'm feeling them different than my previous children. So they definitely have different needs. I was just talking to a friend and a client of mine this morning, and she had her child in just this past summer. And what was so interesting is that she got here And this little soul was so, like, so non-physical, so cosmic, so, like, first-timer, 100%. She had never been here before. She was figuring everything out. And she didn't know what to name her. It was so difficult to choose a name for her because she was just like, she's so vast. She's so, like, her energy's so big. I don't know how to, like, pick a name that fits her energy right. Yeah. And she was also finding, too, that her body was having a slightly harder time kind of adjusting than her previous children, mm-hmm. where she was having little things coming up. You know, she's very, very attached to her mom, can't sleep without her. That's a very interesting thing. You know, these new energies are, like, very, because they're not used to this energy, they don't necessarily know how to regulate themselves. And so they require a lot of extra support in that regard. And their bodies might need a little bit of extra support. They're definitely super sensitive, very psychic. These are the children who are growing up and they're just, like, very tuned in and aware of so many things. And they're, like, telepathically communicating with their parents. And there's so much, I think, that I'm still learning around these new energies and how to support them, because they are so new, you know? And so I think that's really evolving, and I'm continuing to definitely pay attention to it and kind of go, okay, what else do we need to know about these new energies? How can we support them? What is our life going to look like? You know, I know a lot of them are asking for very different things from their parents, and when they're in utero or in preconception, where a lot of these children are like, I can't do conventional education system, that's going to feel really restrictive for me, and I need other options than that. And, you know, sure enough, these children are kind of growing up and they're trying to enter the education system, and it's really just does not work for them. It's really challenging for them. So I think that parents now, and even people who are preparing for children, are in this space of kind of preparing themselves to, and preparing their lives to really hold these new energies if they have a newer energy coming in, because I think it's requiring a whole different consciousness in order to hold and raise and to support these new souls. It's quite an interesting time when these new energies are coming in and joining families.
Yeah, if it wasn't already hard enough to, like, you know, raise every single kid differently, now we get to also explore new souls. So it's definitely motherhood. We always have new challenges, which is great. Never bored.
Absolutely. Never bored.
So if a family comes to you and trying to conceive, you can help them see the energies of their spirit babies. But if a family comes to you with their kids, or not necessarily physically, right, but talking to you about their existing kids, you can also, I guess, help them reading their kids' souls, help them assess them into their needs, maybe? That's something you could help with?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, you know, when I'm working with parents who have children who are, like, under speaking age, so let's say, like, under, like, two and under, the communication is still very telepathic. It's still super easy. It can absolutely still be done past that point, though. You know, if children are, like, new and older, then we're just kind of talking to their higher self and kind of going, okay, what do you need? How can we support you? What is your soul needing to express in this physical form? And what else can we do to support you through that? Because that's the thing, right? You bring up a great point, Laura, where a lot of parents are having I'm having a lot more of that right now, where I'm having parents coming to me being like, whoa, like, this thing just happened and I don't really know what to say to my child. They're talking about XYZ and I don't know how to support them in that, or they're really sensitive to this, or they're having a hard time sleeping, or again, they're having a hard time in the education system or whatever. And again, it's like we're having to come up with these new solutions and new ways to support these children, you know, and that can be like children age 10 and under, but I'm also seeing this in like teenagers. That's a whole other story. So yeah, it's an interesting time.
Yeah. Also, I think that we as parents know what our kids need. The problem is that we live in society that makes us have rules and ways of doing that are like one size fit all. So it's really hard for us to trust our instincts when we know that our kids don't need specific things, but society, everyone around us is telling us that we need to do things that other way, right? So having people like you probably would just reinforce my feelings, right? It would just be like, okay, I was right. My daughter doesn't need this type of education. She needs something different. And I feel like, you know, slowly we are being more open to the systems. So I love that too for this. So yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, something else that our audience was having trouble understanding is that why would a spirit baby choose a family that maybe is harmful or an environment that is harmful?
Yeah, it's a big question. And, you know, I have a ton of compassion for people who have had difficult traumatic or abusive childhoods who are engaging with these topics, because big question that those people have is why? Why would I choose this? What, this doesn't make any sense. Like, how could I ever look at this and say, yep, that sounds good. It was horrific. It was traumatic. It was terrible. And what I will say is that before we're taking an incarnation, we are aware of all possibilities. So we're aware of the highest possibilities and the highest good of each person involved in our life experience, such as our parents, our siblings, you know, other family members. We're involved of their highest light and what their what is possible for them on the highest level, their best self, their highest self, let's say. And we're also aware of their lower selves, their shadow selves, or the parts of them that are acting out in hurt or anger or these sorts of things. And so we're aware of both of these things. And when we're coming in and taking a life, we're not necessarily saying always like, yep, sign me up for all the challenging, difficult things, the abusive childhood, the narcissistic parent, the whatever. We were kind of almost, it's almost like we're hoping to see the best in that person, for that person to express their highest light. And they choose not to. You know, we ultimately have free will while we're down here. And so we can have a hope, a desire for something or someone to go in a certain direction. And they can ultimately choose not to. They can choose to not show up as their best self, as a parent or as a sibling or as a family member or a caretaker. And that is nothing to do with us necessarily. Like, we did bring that on. Mm-hmm. That's that individual soul's kind of choices and decisions on their journey. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, especially children who are raised in those environments, that means that we're affected by that, right? We are affected by the choices of that individual soul and the way that they choose to use their free will, which is where things got messy, because, you know, then we're affected by it and we have to go on and work through it and heal through it and this sort of thing. And, you know, I think that also sometimes souls are, because like I said earlier, there is this really kind of this huge desire to come on and have a physical experience, especially right now. There's a huge waiting list. It's that sometimes we have to make decisions that, in terms of like a family, that we're maybe kind of like, oh, I don't know the way this is going to go, or this may not be the best choice necessarily, but it's the option that I have right now and I want to give it a try, right? And so we can want to give something a try and not necessarily know always how it will go. I'll also say that sometimes on the other end, there is, you know, there are lessons that we are meant to complete with different family members. Mm-hmm. And that can be really hard to hear too, you know, but it is something to open our, you know, our minds and our hearts to, because most people that I talk to who had really challenging experiences with their parents or otherwise, I will ask them like, what if you had to just like, without thinking about it, without overanalyzing it, what lesson did you learn from them? And they have the answer like immediately. They know exactly like, oh yeah, this is like what we had to teach each other. And maybe they have a relationship, maybe they don't, but they have a real understanding of like the lesson. And some people don't too. Some people are totally confused and in the dark. And I think that those people, eventually they might find their way and do some soul searching and kind of understanding the more spiritual or energetic reasons that they landed in the family that they landed in. And I would encourage that, because I think it can be really healing for people. But I would just say, to cap that thought off, we have an awareness of the highest good or the lowest kind of expression of the families that we're coming into, but we always hope for the best. Like, we're always like, maybe they'll be able to be the kind of person that they were meant to be. The soul is like very optimistic and very much like searching for enriching experiences and looking to try things out and give things a shot. And sometimes it works out and it's beautiful, and sometimes it may be more challenging than we had initially hoped for or planned.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes sense. It's just hard to understand, obviously, but as a human, right? But yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. I understand, because I had to understand it from my own perspective, yeah, my own experience, you know, so I get it. Mm-hmm. I totally get it.
Yeah, no, totally. And hopping on to something we've been waiting for, obviously, as you know, Remy is trying to conceive. So we would love to see what you have to say.
Yes, if you're open to sort of a live reading, maybe on maybe what you can see in my aura or whatever comes up.
Sure. Yeah. Well, let me just take a second and tune in, because I kind of have to, when I get, I had sort of like a different brainwave for me. So like there's my like talking interview style, and then there's my intuitive style. So just give me a second. Let me just ears take here. Okay, so what I want to say is, as I'm just observing your energy and your connection, or these energies and their connections to you, I should say, there's definitely a primary energy that's working with you now, looking to make their way in. And okay, so there's definitely this like primary energy. They're identifying themselves as your first child, and it's sort of almost like, yep, that's me. Like, I'm in position. I'm waiting in line. I'm ready to make my way in. What's really interesting is I see your aura, your energy, as this, like, it's beautiful. It's like this beautiful, soft baby pink, and there's like golds and whites just in like the colors around you. It's this gorgeous, like, soft, beautiful, beautiful colors. And then there's this energy, this primary energy, that's like super bright, like vibrant, like as vibrant color as you could imagine. It kind of almost looks like this rainbow color, like bright pinks and blues and greens, and just like super, super, super prominent, super present. And one of the things that I feel like this energy is saying is like, you're working your energies out. And I'll see this a lot, then how is your body kind of holding that energy and this sort of thing? So I feel like there's this really intricate adjustment process that's going on between you and the soul, where you're kind of like, okay, how much energy am I bringing in, and how much energy am I holding? And so it feels like that's being worked out, like that is in the process of being worked out. And I'll often see this in people who have had a miscarriage before. Have you had a miscarriage?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think this energy is just sort of saying like, I feel very, very close. I see them kind of hanging out in like the top upper right quadrant of your field, sort of like right on the top of the right side of your head, very close, but just sort of you're working the energetics out together. And I'll see this a lot. And I think that this is just something that it doesn't have to take a lot of time. You know, I'm hearing also like release the timeline, which is like easier said than done. But I feel that you and this child have a real understanding of each other and like what each other needs and what your individual connection is. And there might be people who are sort of like, do this, do that, do this at this time, or, you know, transfer here, don't transfer here, try to conceive here, that whatever. And this energy is just sort of saying like, it's you and me, like let's make work this out together. So I feel that there's this ask of like returning to your body's wisdom and then this child's intelligence, because they really feel like this energy feels to me. And like, I know exactly what I'm doing and I know how to conduct this. It's almost sort of like directing, or I'm almost seeing like the conductor of a symphony or an orchestra, and is saying like, I know exactly how to make this happen. And she's kind of almost like in a weird way asking for more control. Like, it's such a cliche, but truly like releasing the timeline, giving up control, I think. And then also maybe even doing a practice of just like having an affirmation, something like, okay, I trust you. I trust your intelligence. I trust your cosmic timing. And I am willing to let you drive the ship.
And so how do we know if a soul is returning after a miscarriage, or it's a new one within the ones that we have?
Definitely. I'll see miscarriages, souls returning all the time. I would say that's actually more common than the latter, which is one soul comes, has an experience, there's a miscarriage, and then they never come again. I would say it's, in my experience, it's much more common to have a soul come in, have a brief experience, exit, and then come back at a future point in time.
Well, thank you so much.
So I guess we can move on with me. So I've never thought about a third. But obviously, being at, you know, my mid-30s, I need to make a decision if I want a third or not. And I'm definitely open to it, especially like lately. I would love to see what you see.
Yes.
Cool. Okay, amazing. Well, it's fun, because this is a really common position that I work with a lot of people in, especially they have two children, they were connected to those, they've like felt them, knew they needed to get here, got them here, amazing. And then there comes this point where it's sort of like, okay, like, is this something that we'd be open to? And then if we are, sort of like, okay, what energies are potentially connected to another pregnancy, to a third pregnancy? So let me tune in. Let me just switch gears here again. Yeah, so what I feel is that there's definitely some... okay, hold on. Let me just figure out how I want to say this. I think that there's definitely some energies working with you who would be interested in joining your family. I think that they were kind of waiting for your green light and your go ahead. And I don't know if you've like, if you felt that you've consciously sent that out yet, but from what I can see in your energy, like you've already sent out that green light. I don't know if that's recently, that's just kind of come online for you. It maybe hasn't caught up with your conscious mind yet where you're like, yeah, okay, ready to go. Like, let's do this thing, and where you've actually started actively taking action on it. But what they're showing me is that that's kind of, that signal, I guess you could say, has already been sent out. And the interesting thing though is it still feels like there's two energies, and they're still kind of working out what their decision is. I actually feel like one of them is a newer energy, kind of like we were talking about. One of them is sort of like, oh, really curious about you, really curious about the life that you've built, really curious about how you're raising your children already. Feels like they would fit in really, really well. And the other energy kind of feels a little bit more already sort of looped into your connection, whether or not you've connected with them already. And it kind of, what's really interesting is they're sort of flipping back and forth. And I don't know if you've been feeling that, where it's sort of almost like, yep, yeah, it's definitely this or it's definitely that, whether that's like boy, girl. But I feel like kind of whiplash, like I'm sort of like, okay, it's going to be them. No, it's going to be them. It's going to be them. It's going to be them. So, you know, because you know what it is, actually, this is interesting. What they're showing me is that they needed your energetic consent in order to sort of figure out their journey and what journey they were going to take. And since that feels like really recent, actually. I don't know if you're conscious of this, but that feels quite recent. And now that they have that, they're able to sort of like fine tune the process and fine tune the journey of like which one of us is going to come in. It's not like there's like a fight for it, but it's sort of almost like what is in the highest good for each of these two energies, which one is going to have the experience that they need to have in a way that serves your family, in a way that serves them. So it's kind of interesting. It's sort of almost like the details are still being woven, I feel like, in a way. And I don't know if you felt that yourself, of just sort of like which way it's going to go, which kind of energy is going to come in, you know, what that's going to look like, what the gender is going to be, etc. It still feels like the details are being woven a little bit. And my suggestion would just be to keep yourself like as open to that process as possible. And they'll let you know. I feel like they'll very clearly let you know when those decisions, it's almost like negotiations are complete. Like, okay, we've decided and everything's ready to go. And you'll kind of then feel how you want to move forward on a conception path of sort of like, okay, I want this to look like, is it going to be super conscious? Are we just sort of leaving it more open and that sort of thing? And I think that will come to form. Like, it doesn't feel like a large amount of time. I think that feels like it wants to come to form within the next like year and a half or so.
Yeah, totally. Everything makes sense. It's not that I've made a decision at all, but I have very recently in the past month started to consider a third, because I always said that if I wanted a third, I wanted a bigger gap and I wanted my kids to be around 4 and 6, 7. So now is the time, and I don't want to wait longer. I don't think there's a reason to wait longer. So I really want to consider it right now. And it is true that maybe that's been the signal. That's been my green light. And you know, I go very back and forth into my decision because it's a really hard one. I can see both being great and I really don't know what to do.
I know. I hear you. And what I would say is just like I think it'll feel almost more grounded in your system and like more like, okay, yes, like I'm excited about this. This feels right. This feels really beautiful because it's different, right? I think you had an experience with your two children where it was like, no question, know them, love them, like they've got to get here. I'm going to get them here. And I think that this is a slightly different experience that you'll have with this next energy, where there is this like, okay, who are you? And what time have we spent together? Maybe we are totally new. We're totally new to each other and we're learning each other, right? So I think that that can actually reflect sometimes in our personal experience, where we can feel more sort of like, okay, what's this going to look like? But I think it will come into form and become more clear, definitely within the next, because I would say within the next 6 months or so, where you have clarity and then they also have clear path forward and intention.
Mm-hmm. And it's not twins, right?
No, I don't think it's twins. No. They feel like two separate souls having individual experiences, and they're just kind of trying to figure out like which way it's going to mm-hmm. go.
And when you see like the souls, do you see like their personalities and auras, as you mentioned with the Raimis?
It's still so the great. That's actually, you're offering me a great opportunity to clarify this, because the personality really starts to come into form the closer. Like after kind of all of the details on the back end have been worked out and the conception contract has been initiated and it's sort of decided, the personality then sort of starts to take its form, because then the soul has to decide all the decisions. What kind of body do I want to have? What do I want the body to look like? And what kinds of things am I interested in having an experience of in this experience of physical reality? So all those details start to come into form. It doesn't feel like these two souls are like super, like almost there yet. They haven't gotten to that point where they have to start to kind of make all these super specific decisions. But I think that that will come into form, and you'll be able to get it more too, Laura, right? Where when that starts to happen, you'll be able to feel it more, which I think will support you in your process moving forward of sort of like, okay, I can feel this energy. I can feel what the personality wants to be. I can feel, you know, the gender one way or another. And I think that that will just make the whole process feel probably different than your other two children, but it'll make it feel kind of familiar in a way of sort of like, okay, this feels like I feel grounded in this. I feel trusting in what it is that's happening now. So I think it will unfold in the next little while.
Mm-hmm. And when you say, you know, you have two, then if I only choose to bring one or none, is there a point where they leave your side?
Yep. Great question. It depends. It really depends on the energy. If that energy is already linked in with the soul family, they stick around. They're able to stay present with you, even if they're non-physical, even if they don't plan on being able to be physical. If it's another energy, like let's say hypothetically it's this new soul, or this newer energy, mm-hmm. they may decide to, if they don't have the opportunity to come in and have an experience and they're still looking to have an experience, they may decide to move along and see if they can find another family. What's interesting is I got this terminology from these spirit babies a little while ago, and it kind of comes back to what we were talking about around childhood environments that are less than wonderful. Is there such thing as a first choice family, mm-hmm. where this is like a soul's first choice of the family that they would really, really, really prefer to come into. And if they're not mm-hmm. able to make that happen, or if that family is not open to that for whatever reason, or if, again, we have free will, we can use that free will however we decide to, they may decide to see if they can find another family that would fit their needs and their preferences just as well.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, love that. Do you see which one is the newer soul and which one is...
I think it's the boy. I think the boy.
The boy is the new.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this other female feels maybe more looped in with you. But it's interesting, though, because I don't see... Like, I see your connection with your daughter. Your daughter was born first?
Yeah, first. Yeah.
I see your connection with her. It feels so deep. Like, you feel like best friends. Like, it's like, this is like best friend energy. It's really so sweet. And it's just like, oh, we're so happy to be together again. Like, I can feel that. Yeah. And this energy is still kind of looped into your, you know, kind of soul pod, but it feels a little bit more removed in a way. Like, maybe you haven't had as many experiences together, let's say, as you and your daughter have, or this sort of thing. I can't quite mm-hmm. tell, but it feels like a little bit more of a fresher connection, that you'd be discovering each other in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love that new experience.
Yeah, exactly.
And since I have already two existing kids, do you see anything from them?
Yeah, hold on, let me just see. Yeah, this is kind of cool. So I definitely see you and your daughter have had quite a few experiences together. You and your son have had experiences together. They've had experiences together individually, like on their own without you present. And basically what I heard when I tuned in is like, is like, she's the only mom we want. Like, you know, we're sort of almost like, we tried, you know, other experiences with other people in the position of mother, and it just didn't work out. And so it feels like there's this cool, beautiful connection between the three of you where they feel super committed to you. It was like, and maybe that's why even Laura, like, you felt them so early on and for so long, because you were like, that was it. Like, it was like them and you. And I also feel like they even had a contract together of sort of like, we want to come to the same mom. Like, we want to come to Laura. We want to be together and with Laura all at the same time, you know? So that felt like very clear and intentional. Yeah. They very much knew what they wanted in that regard. And I do see them, like, I see them having other past life experiences, and I see your daughter still as a girl and your son still as a boy, and they almost, like, I can feel them being like, something's missing, like, we don't have the kind of the guidance or the support that we would want to have, and what was missing was basically you. Like, they really, there's like this lighthouse energy that I think that you do for your children, but also for like your family and also for the world. And I know that your children like trust that they can, that you are always going to shine the light for them and allow them to then shine their light into the world. And so it really feels like they have a great amount of like trust in not only who you are as a mom, but who you are as a person, and how deeply you know yourself. And like, I feel like you have a really, really strong sense of self. And I think that that's really what your children, like, your children are learning from that, and they're developing their strong sense of selves as well, because of your example and because of what you're modeling. And I think that your children are going to really get to be the energies. And this is all I could hope for any child on planet Earth ever, is that your children really get to be who they came to be, because they have the parents and they have the mother and they have the lighthouse, you know, the energy that is always going to light the path for us and encourage us to be our truest self and to have a strong awareness of who we are and why we came here. And I think you're doing that for them so beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah. All my visions were always of them together and like their energy playing together. Like, that was my biggest thing that I saw. Like, it was never me and my daughter and me and my son. It was them together and then with me. Yeah. So yeah, it makes sense. I knew they knew each other too.
For sure.
Yeah. So a third would still blend well, right?
For sure. For sure. I think sometimes, so like, it's sort of almost like like your daughter and your son are kind of like welcoming the third energy into the pack, right? It's kind of like welcome into the pack. But this energy, whoever it ends up being, they'll be aware of their connection and how they fit. And I see it blending really, really beautifully.
Yeah, you know what's funny? They actually have started talking about a third without me even mentioning it. And they're fighting about the gender. So, I mean, maybe that's also part of our fight.
That's the whiplash.
Yeah, they're feeling it too. 100%. They do, right? Yeah. The children, sometimes our children know that we're going to have another child before we do.
Yeah, I mean, they've been talking about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, Sophia's been telling people in her class, like even other kids, that I'm having a baby. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not even trying. Like, I know I'm not pregnant, right? So she's been saying that. And I'm like, well, don't say that, because then people will think I'm pregnant.
She's like, but it's true. It's going
to
happen.
Yeah. So, and then they're fighting about the gender. Sophia's trying to convince Beckham about the girl so that the boy doesn't get his toys, you know? So smart.
Oh my gosh.
So smart.
I love it.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah, so good. Well, this was incredible. I mean, we'll definitely have to do a part two once maybe Remy has her baby here.
Sure, absolutely.
Before we go, like, I would love for you to tell our audience where they can find you, as well as all the services that you offer.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much everywhere as at Emily the Medium. You can find me across all platforms. That's my website. I have, the only thing that's different is my author website is emilytheauthor.com. I wrote a book and published it in 2023 about all things spirit babies. It's called The Cosmic Bond, Communicating with Your Spirit Babies from Preconception to Birth. And it was really a really beautiful project, and it's helped so many people who have read the book so far. So you can get that wherever you get books, Amazon, etc. And as far as offerings, I have about a 5-year wait list for readings, which is crazy. And so I have kind of a different way of doing readings. I do reading lottery as well, do kind of a handful of readings every few months, and offering those to people who are needing them. And I do readings for people who are pregnant, because more readings for people who are pregnant, because it is time sensitive. So anyway, if anybody's ever curious, you can find my email. It's all linked in my website and my Instagram. So if you want to reach out and chat spirit babies, if you have questions, that's where you can find me.
I love that. So we'll link everything down below as well.
Amazing. Thank you both so much.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Yay. Thank you so much for joining us. This is awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh my God. So what did you think?
That was so crazy.
I know.
Oh my gosh. She was great. Like, I loved hearing her perspective on everything. She explained things very easily and well too. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope everyone like has clarity. I think that, mm-hmm. you know, on all the questions, main questions we had, it's just obviously it's always going to depend from person to person, like how to connect, what science is, this right. science is this not. Also, when you're looking for science, sometimes you see more than, you know, because you're looking for them. So it's good to have obviously a personal reading in this case.
Right.
But it's definitely helpful for everyone. Yeah. And yeah, her book, I'm going to link it down below. I think it's a good place to start as well if you want to learn more about spirit babies. What did you think about her reading specifically to you? Like, what's your takeaway?
I mean, it gave me chills. I think,
and clarity.
I think, yeah, very much clarity around what's going to happen next or at least which spirit baby is really, really present at the moment. And so in a way, a lot of reassurance as well.
Okay, so you have clarity and reassurance because the gender she mentioned, which we are blipping out because you don't want to say, is the one that you have that embryo left.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, we don't want to give away the gender at the moment, but it did give me the clarity that the steps that I'm taking are the right ones. Exactly.
Confidence that is the embryo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just like reassurance on the journey and how everything's happened, that it was the way that it needed to go.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it all made sense to her as she was channeling it. And so that also was reassuring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I was making the right decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have more clarity around this third baby? I feel like after you talked to her.
No,
I feel like you are going to bring this baby in. Like, after this conversation, for some reason.
No, I feel this. So I don't have more clarity. I just have reassurance on what I was feeling early this year, which is right now. You know, what she said, I already was feeling. Kind of like what she said, that I'm starting to open the green light to consider. Because I think you need to. I think you need to consider it by opening yourself. If you're closed, you're not considering it, right? So
right.
as I'm considering it right now, and I talked to you before, I said, you know, I kind of want to give myself the first 6 months of the year, because why wait longer? You know, my kids, again, are already going to be 4 and 7 by the time the third is born. I don't need more of a gap, and I don't need to be older or wait longer. And I don't have more clarity whether I will do it or not. Like, I'm not going to act on it right now. I still need to think a lot about it. But I have reassurance knowing that there's that opportunity and that I'm on the right path, feeling what I'm feeling. And I even see my kids, as I said, talking about it on their own and going back and forth on the gender. So I kind of, that relates to what I'm experiencing.
Right. Because you were so sure about Sophia and Beckham.
Yeah. And I like that to hear that it'll blend in, because that's important, you know?
I am. Yeah. But I think it's so... Yeah. It's so telling that Sophia's already talking about it too.
Well,
that was another thing I didn't know about, that I was like, huh.
She feels sensitive to these things, because she talked about Beckham also before he came. We'll see.
I know. It's just such a great episode, and I hope that it shed some light on kind of all the questions we had around spirit mm-hmm. babies. But yeah, we hope hope you guys enjoyed it.
So next week we are going to finally get ready for embryo transfer number 2. So we are going to cover all of the different things that Raimi is doing right now to prepare for that next and second transfer. Not just body, but there's a lot of mental and emotional things that she's doing that we're going to be sharing that are completely different and new, right?
Yes. Yes. And it kind of goes off of our conversation today with Emily as well. Yeah.
Yeah. It's connecting with the baby, talking to the baby, Reiki. So there's a lot of that, and it's perfect.
Right. Just doing everything I possibly can to be ready for this transfer mentally, physically, spiritually,
mm-hmm.
all of it. Mm-hmm. So all that will be covered next week. And remember to follow us on IG at MomFriendsPod for all the behind the scenes. And make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes to come.
Yes, I can't wait for next week's episode.
Bye. Bye.